Yeah. My name is Lenny. I'm at it. Oh, man. And I want to thank God for his grace and mercy, man. And, man, thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. Thank God for the predecessors, man, who was here, man, and showed me how to stay here. Man, look, I'm nervous, man, but I'm excited, you know what I mean? I'm excited, man, about this program, man, and how this program has changed my life. You know, I want to thank Scott, man, and the CMP, man, convention, man, for asking me to come and share my experience, strength, and hope on the seventh edition, man. And you need to know, man, when I got here, man, I didn't know anything about traditions. I didn't know what traditions was. You know, talking about 14 years and 11 months ago, when I came here, by way of a thorough ass whipping. You know, when I cried out in the bathroom, man, and asked God to please help me, man, because I was tired of using. And getting to know about these traditions, man, comes slowly over a period of time. You know, I remember, man, when I came out of treatment this last time, I went to a meeting, man, on Barclay Street, Barclay and 21st Street, man, down in the basement. And I remember, man, it was that kind of meeting, man. There was a lot of stuff going on, you know, up in there. But, man, my ass was so whipped that I remember sitting in that meeting, man, and wasn't focusing on what was going on around me, you know, and because somebody told me, man, you got to listen to learn and learn how to listen. So I was, like, trying to focus, man. I would focus on the speaker, and I would focus on the message. You know, and after being there for a while, a lady named Carolyn B., she came to me, man, and she said, look, you need to get involved in the program. And I didn't know, you know, what to do, really, you know. I mean, I'd been in and out the rooms, you know, for a while, man, but I didn't know anything about sitting still and getting involved, you know. And she said, well, I said, well, you know, I didn't have 90 days. She said, well, you can go around and you can pick up the cups, you know. At the end of the meeting, you can pick up the chairs, because the chairs sometimes would be turned over because people would be acting out in the meeting, fighting or whatever, you know. And they, you know, so that's what I did. You know, I picked up the cups, man, and set up the chairs, man, and I got involved in service. And I remember when I got my 90 days, man, somebody said, well, you can secretary. I said, secretary, yeah, okay. So that's what I did, man. I secretary, you know, for a little while down on Barclay and 21st Street. But then I ventured out, man, and I started going to meetings all over the city. You know, I didn't have no one place to go, but I found a meeting down on Carolina Albert Street, and the name of the meeting was Free to Be Me. And I went to that meeting, man, and a lady named Jessica, man, she came up, man, and she said, you need to get involved with this home group. I joined the home group. She said, well, you need to get involved with this home group. And she gave me a key. She gave me a key to the building. I couldn't believe, man, that somebody gave me a key to the building. You know what I'm saying? You know, so I started getting involved, man, and I started secretarying, man, and I would go down there. The meeting met Sundays at 6 o'clock. And I would go to that meeting every Sunday, man, and I'd go in there, man, early. I would sit up the meeting, man, help sit up the meeting, set up the chairs and everything, man. I'm talking about getting involved in this program. You know, because I didn't want to use no more, man. I didn't want to go back out there no more. Look, when I got here, I was 54 years old. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't want to use no more, man. So I got involved with the meeting, man. I got a secretary position. The third Sunday of every month, man, was my position. That was my time. You know, and I would go in there, man. I would go in there early. Set the meeting up, man, and some days I sat in there by myself, man, and I would just read the literature, you know. And then people just started coming, man, and, you know, we had the meeting and stuff, man. There was a guy, man, that came in there, man, who was in there before I got there, man, named George, man, and George said, man, look, I'm going to go down to the service center with me. And he was the GSR. He said, come on, go down to the service center with me, man, and find out what this thing is all about. And I started going to GSR, down the service center to the GSR meetings, man, and started getting involved with that. Eventually, man, I got me an H&I commitment, man. And I took the H&I commitment, man, into Bayview Hospital every fourth Sunday of the month, man. I'm talking about getting involved in this program, man, because I didn't want to use no more, man. So I did that, man, for 4 years, man. You know, and I started learning, man, about what this program was about, man. The traditions, man. Thank God for the traditions, man. Thank God for the predecessors, man. People who started this program, man, way back when, you know, in 1953. A guy named Jimmy K, man, and a lady named Sylvia, man, they had the know-how, man, to just keep this thing going, man, and borrow the tradition from our fellowship and bring it into our fellowship. You know, and that seventh tradition, man, talks about being fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, man. You know, I have another home group. My other home group is Hamilton Noon. You know what I'm saying? And some people say, man, you know, why do you have two home groups? Well, look, for me, it works. I got a home group, man, which is Free to Be Me, where I celebrate it every year. Next month, man, I'll be 15 years. And I've been celebrating it at that home group since I've been here. They meet on Sundays, but Hamilton Noon, man, meets 6 days a week at 12 noon. So I got some place to go every day, 7 days a week, and that works for me. You know, I do service work in both home groups, man. You know, Seventh Tradition say we are fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. The money is paid, is collected for to pay the rent, buy literature, buy some coffee. And whatever's left over, man, we take and pass on to the area. After we take care of our business in our home group, any money left over, man, we pass on to the area. Which in turn, you know, if any money is left over, they pass it on to the region. And from there, they pass it on to the world. This is a worldwide fellowship, man. You know, I was reading something, man. I went to the World Convention in Philadelphia, man, a couple years ago, man, and I was just amazed, man, how NA, man, has evolved around the world. You know, I heard some guys speaking, man, from this one guy, man, that they wouldn't let him out of the country because, you know, because of NA, they wouldn't let him out of the country, man, to come to the convention. So he set up a meeting on his computer on Skype. And he was in a closet, man, sharing his experience, jumping hope. You know what I'm saying? That's how the program works, man. You know, it's a worldwide fellowship, man. You know, we have the area, man, I mean, the world prints up literature, man, in all different kind of languages around the world. You know, I love Narcotics Anonymous, man. I love this program, man, and tell you a little bit about me, man. I started using it a long time ago, man, back in the 50s. Started using it in the 50s, man. By the time the 60s came around, man, I was in high school. I OD'd in class from some pills called dummies. Took a whole bunch of them. You know what I mean? And fell out, man, in the classroom, man. And I can remember, man, my mother, man, came and got me, man, and took me to Johns Hopkins Hospital, man. And when I opened my eyes, man, my mother was standing over top of me crying. You know, and I looked up at my mother, man, she was crying, man, and the doctor came and said, look, we got a nice program over here in Phipps Psychiatric Clinic. And my mother said, no, my son ain't that bad. But I was well on my way. You know, And it was something about my mother, man, that always found a way to get me out of trouble. Always. I don't care what it was, man. She always found a way to get me out of trouble. You know, so she got me back in school. I'm talking about I fell out in the classroom, OD'd in the classroom, man. But some kind of way, she got me back in school. I'm talking about, man, they failed me that year, you know. But 1966, man, I graduated. I graduated, man, and I was inducted into the Army. And a year later, 1966, I was in Vietnam. And when I got to Vietnam in 67, man, it was a whole lot of firsts. It was a whole lot of firsts that happened in my life. You know, the first time I ever smoked any reefer was in Vietnam. First time I ever snorted any dope was in Vietnam. First time I did a whole lot of other things that I'm not proud to talk about that still haunt me sometimes, even today, I did in Vietnam. You know, God bless me to come back home, man. I came back home, man, and I remember, man, getting back to Friendship Airport, and people wasn't, you know, welcoming me back home, man. You know, but when I got back to Boone Street, man, my mother and my sister came out, man, and they hugged me, man, and they welcomed me back home. You know, that same year, man, 1968, I went and got a job. Talking about fully self-supporting. I got a job down at General Motors, man. I worked on that job for 35 years. You know, but I used on that job, man, for 33 years. Because I couldn't stop. Didn't know how to stop. You know, always in and out of treatment centers and stuff, man. But I just didn't know how to stop and stay stopped. And it wasn't, man, until I was living up on Guilford Avenue. And I woke up that morning, man, and I was ill. I was sick. And I went to the bathroom, and I walked past that mirror, man. I caught a glimpse of myself in that mirror. And I cried out, man, and I asked God to please help me. But I was ill. So I left out the house, man. I went up on North and Washington Street up in that little schoolhouse. And I copped dope and coke. And when I came out of there, man, I walked, came down the steps. Look, it was in May, man. It was hot that day. I had a hood up on my head because I didn't want nobody to see me. And I walked out that room, out that building, man. And I looked down on the curb, man, and there were three guys sitting in this car. And I knew who they were. They were the Knockers, man. So I tried to run around the corner, man. And I looked back, they jumped out the car and they ran me down. And they slammed me on that wall. And they took me down Central Booking again. I'm talking about surrender. They put me in a cell, man, with 12 other sick and suffering addicts. Everybody in there was ill. You know, I'm talking about pissing, shitting, and farting all over the place, man. But I had me a little corner in that cell. You know what I'm saying? And it was just something different about being locked up this time. But I came out of there, man, and I was still ill. I went up on Green Mountain Preston and I copped again, you know, and I went home and I did something different. I made a phone call to the gatekeeper and I said, man, I need some help. Well, he called me back. He said, next day, man, we're going to send a van to pick you up. And next day, man, they came and got me, man. They took me to New Jersey and put me in detox. I'm talking about my life starting to change. You know, and I stayed in that program, man, and I remember coming out of there, man, they said, when you leave here, go to a meeting. So I came home, man, I went to a meeting, man, and the first meeting I went to, man, they was closed up on Harper Road. I went to another meeting up on Harper Road, and they was closed. And I went down McElvey and Port Street, and the meeting was closed, man. So I went home, man, because I was scared. I didn't want to use no more. And I went in the house, man, and the guy called me. I said, man, I can't find a meeting nowhere. He said, man, it's a meeting around the corner from you on Barclay and 21st Street. So that's where I went, man. That's where my recovery began. You know, and I said all that, man, to say, man, that my life has changed since I've been in this program. You know, I'm not the same person, man, that I was 14 years and 11 months ago. Y'all told me, change, you must or die, you will. So I had to come around here and do something different, man. And getting involved with this program is what I do, man. You know, been married since I've been here. Been married 47 years. Wow. You know what I'm saying? But look, for 32 of them years, man, me and my wife were separated. You know, separated, man, and I have children outside of my marriage, man. I lived with a woman for 20 years, man. And she passed away in 1993, man, from breast cancer, and I was devastated. I was devastated, man, and we had just brought a single family home, you know. And when she passed away, man, I found myself using her like dope was giving her go out of style. You know, I found myself back in that, what I call that fuck it mode. You know, not caring about nothing or nobody. You know, ended up losing that house, man, that single family home that me and my lady was buying. And I ended up back on Boone Street. I remember calling my sister. My sister was still living in the house, man, with her two daughters. And I called my sister. I said, Teresa, I'm coming back down the house. She said, hold it. She said, wait a minute. I said, don't worry. I said, that's all right. I said, I'm coming down the house. I'm gonna move in the basement. She said, no. She said, how much money do you owe in your house? I said, no, I don't worry about that. I said, I'm coming down the house. So I came down the house. And look, and at this time, man, I was living with another lady, man, who we had been living together for 12 years. You know, and we using together for them 12 years. And when I left out that home, man, and came back down Boone Street and moved into the basement, man, I brought that disease right along with me. And I remember, man, one day my wife called my sister and said, Teresa, have you seen Lenny? My sister said, who are you talking about? The people under the steps? You know? But that's where I was living, man. I was living underneath the steps in the basement. And I was comfortable being under the steps in the basement, man. And I stayed there, man. My sister ended up taking her two daughters and moving out the house. And I was comfortable, man, in a 5-bedroom house living in the basement. You know, stayed in that house, man, until they came and tore down the whole house. Man, but the way this program has changed my life, man, you know, I wouldn't have it no other way, man. I thank God every day for the way I'm living today. I woke up this morning, man, look, we in the room, man, and the phone rang this morning at 6 o'clock. Like, who the hell is that on the phone this time of the morning, man? I get up and answer the phone, and whoever was hung up. So then I'm trying to go back to sleep, and it rang again. So I pick up the phone and said, talking about it's a wake-up call. I didn't ask for no wake-up call. You know what I'm saying? So I got up, man. And I like to get, when I'm down here, I come down here, man, for some peace. You know what I'm saying? I like to have me an oceanfront view, you know, and early in the morning. I like to get up, man, and catch that sunrise when it's coming up. You know what I'm saying? That's how I like to start my day. The day I got up a little bit late. But I got up, man, and I went out on the balcony, man. I sat out there, man. I took my little book and everything that I read every morning. I sat out there, man, and that's where I get my prayer and meditation at. You know? And that works for me, man. You know, I do this every, I got a ritual every morning. That I sit in my quiet place and I pray and I meditate, man. That's how I start my day. You know, because there's a whole lot of days, man, I didn't, you know, start my day that way. And when I started my day, other than that, man, a whole lot of other stuff used to happen. But, man, I thank God, man, for the way this program has changed my life, man. Man, I got some friends around here today, man.
We love you.
Man. Look, man. Scott asked me to do this meeting, man, about a month ago, man, and no, I might have told one person, you know, I might have just slipped out and said that, you know, but since then, man, so many people, man, just been coming, man, and saying they're gonna be here and on the telephone. I'm saying, why do all these people know? You know what I'm saying? How did all of them know, man? You know, but I don't know, man. Ain't no secrets. He said, ain't no secrets, man. You know, and I just thank it, man. You know, oh man, I just thank God, man, for friends, man. I got some friends around here, man. That look, I thought I had some friends out there when I was using, man. You know what I'm saying? But ain't no friends like the friends I got in here, man. You know, ain't no fellowship in the world like this fellowship here. You know what I'm saying? This is where I can come, man, and tell y'all exactly what's going on with me. I can't go to church, man, and tell them people what I'm doing. I can't do that. And look, and make no mistake about it, man. I do service work in church. You know what I'm saying? I do service work in church, man, because y'all told me, man, you got to get a balance. I had to get a balance in my life, man. So that's what I do, man. I go to church, man, do what I do in there, man, but I got to come in here. I got to make sure I come in here and tell y'all the exact nature of what's going on with me. No secrets, man. Y'all told me, man, secrets will kill your ass around here. I don't have no secrets today, man. I got a sponsor, man, that I love my sponsor. Look, I love my sponsor, man, and when my ass is on fire about anything, I tells him about it. And guess what? He can relate. You know what I'm saying? He can relate. And if he can't relate, he'll take and refer me to somebody who can relate. You know? And that's how this program works, man. The therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. You know, I don't know, man. I'm just excited, man. God damn, I'm excited, man. Look, man. Man, I am. I'm excited. God damn, I'm excited, man. You know, I'm just so in love with this program, man. You know, look, I was in an accident. April the 3rd, man. I was in an accident, man, and I came from a meeting, and I was on my way home, and got to the red light, man, and let me tell the truth. Because the truth will set me free. Came from the meeting, man, and 7 o'clock, man, I'm on my way home, man, and I say I'm going home. So I'm going home, I get up to the Northern Parkway, my telephone rang. Telephone rang, I look, no, they don't go home. Telephone rang, I look, hello. Somebody says, blah, 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 why don't you come over for dinner? Talk about me. So I said, I'm going home. I said, okay. And I went over, had dinner and stuff, you know, and I left there, man, on my way home. And I get to Northern Parkway, man. I'm at the light. The light turned green. I go through the light, and I look. Out the corner of my eye, man, I seen this car coming, man. The car came and crashed into my truck, you know. And I was trapped in the truck, couldn't get out. But I hit the orange star button, man, and the lady said, well, can you get out there? I said, no. I said, I can't get out. I was shook. It shook my brain, man. My whole body was rocked, man. So, this guy came out of nowhere. He opened up the passenger door, man. He said, you all right? I said, I can't get out, man. So he took and dragged me across my truck, man, and pulled me out the other side of the door, man. You know, And I had to stay there until the police and the ambulance came, and they took me to Sinai Hospital, man. I'm talking about, man, grace and mercy, man. You know, God give me chance after chance after chance. I can't count the number of chances that God has given me. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I went to Sinai Hospital, man. My wife came in and everything, you know, and I sat over that hospital in the emergency room, man, from 11 o'clock that night till 8 o'clock in the morning, sitting in the waiting room. And I'm constantly telling these people, man, like, you know, I need to see a doctor. I need to see a doctor. 8 o'clock in the morning came, man. My blood pressure had dropped. And I ended up falling out on the floor.
Oh my God.
I passed out, man, and then they came and got me and took me in the back. You know, I'm just saying, man, that, you know, God, man, works in all kind of ways, man. He works through people. God works through people, man, and this new way of life, man. They say no matter what, just don't use. No matter what, man. I don't give a damn what the hell happens. Come down the pipe. I'm not using, man. Look, man. 8 years ago, man, my daughter was murdered. You know what I'm saying? My daughter was murdered, man, by this guy, man, who was her boyfriend. You know, and shot her 6 times in front of my granddaughter. You know? And they need to know, man, I came out here, I was messed up. I'm talking about messed up here. I was messed up, man, and I remember coming in the meeting, man, crying in the meeting, man, and raising my hand and telling y'all that my daughter was murdered and stuff, man. And people in the meetings, man, they came to me, man, and they told me, just hold on, man. Just don't use no matter what. Just don't use. You know, but you know, I was messed up. People in this fellowship, man, they love me. And I remember, man, I'm still holding on to some stuff, man. I'm still holding on to some stuff, man, and it's hard for me to let go. Somebody told me, man, when it first happened, man, somebody said, you know you're going to have to forgive him. I'm saying, man, who are you talking to? You know, I'm not there. I'm not there. You know, forgiveness, you know. And here it is, man, almost 9 years later, man, guess what? I'm still not there. But God has softened my heart that I don't feel the same way I feel today as I did then. I came in the meeting one day and I shared about this, man, and a friend of mine who's a therapist in this program, man, she said, well, look, Lanny, won't you just write a letter telling him just how you feel, you know? And every time I go to the meeting, man, and I see her, you know, she say, have you wrote the letter yet? And I said, no. And I went to a meeting, man, up on Greenmount Avenue, man, and I saw her, and I knew she was going to ask me that question again. So she was sitting over there, so I went over here. I sit over here, you know. But after the meeting, she said, have you wrote the letter yet? And I said, no. She said, man, just write the damn letter. Just write the letter, you know. I sit around here, man, and I wrote a fourth step, man, and I told y'all all about me. So she said, man, just write the letter. So I'm in the process. I'm in the process of trying to sit down and write the letter. You know, because I understand, man, that the letter will help me to get better. You know, the program works, man, if you work it. Y'all told me you got to do some work to stay here. Say, God will move a mountain, man, but you better bring the shovel. You know? I don't know, man. I'm excited. God damn it. I'm excited, man. Man, I am excited about this program. I'm excited about the way I'm living today. You know what I mean? God damn, this is the best I've ever lived. If God keep waking me up, man, I'll be 70 this year. You know, His grace and mercy, man. Grace and mercy. Man, grace and mercy, man. I don't know, man. I ain't got a whole lot more, man. You know? Huh? Hey. I love my Pastor Nyman. Thank you.